In 1999, two men, Andy Bichelbaum and Mike Bonanno, set up a fake World Trade Organization website and waited. Soon, the parody website began to get inquiries from confused visitors. Eventually, the two men were invited to speak at conferences on behalf of the WTO. They gave speeches in the WTO's name on such audacious topics as buying vouchers for human rights abuses and organizing third world vote tampering. These political stunts were recorded, and thus the Yes Men were born. Some of their political actions have been collected in a documentary film called The Yes Men Fix the World. I spoke with Andy Bichelbaum, one half of the Yes Men, about what followed the WTO pranks.
After representing the World Trade Organization a number of times, a friend of ours suggested that maybe we should turn our attentions to something more real world, more visceral. The WTO makes all these abstract rules that are dooming the world, but there are actual companies that are directly destroying the world. And he suggested looking at Bhopal and Dow. Dow Chemical had bought Union Carbide, which was responsible for the biggest industrial catastrophe in history, the Bhopal catastrophe, which killed 20,000 people over the years, starting in 1984 when the leak occurred. So we set up a fake website as Dow and got ourselves invited onto the BBC as Dow Chemical. This just happened a bit by accident.
This is another of those cases where you set it up with one intention and were, by this time, perhaps not quite so surprised that you got onto the World Wide Web and got an invitation. But, I mean, BBC News, that's big.
That was the surprise there, that it was so big and that we had a chance to say something in front of 350 million people, according to the BBC.
And what did you say?
Well, at that point, we decided to say the thing that would bring the most news to the issue and bring the most notice to the issue. And that was to say the opposite of what Dow is saying. And what they're saying is that they have no responsibility for the Bhopal catastrophe. They bought the company that caused it. That doesn't mean they should do anything about it. And we and a lot of human beings think that that's completely preposterous. If you buy a company that's performed a crime and has never atoned for it, you have to do something about it. And so we did that. We got on the BBC Live on the 20th anniversary of the Bhopal catastrophe and announced on behalf of Dow to the anchor who thought we were from Dow, we announced that we were doing the right thing.
Joining us live from Paris now is Jude Finisterre. He's a spokesman for Dow Chemicals, which took over Union Carbide. Good morning to you. Do you now accept responsibility for what happened?
Steve, yes. Today is a great day for all of us at Dow, and I think for millions of people around the world as well. It's 20 years since the disaster, and today I'm very, very happy to announce that for the first time, Dow is accepting full responsibility for the Bhopal catastrophe. And I would also like to say that this is no small matter, Steve. This is the first time in history that a publicly owned company of anything near the size of Dow has performed an action which is significantly against its bottom line simply because it's the right thing to do. And our shareholders may take a bit of a hit, Steve, but I think that if they're anything like me, they will be ecstatic to be part of such a historic occasion of doing right by those that we've wronged.
How long did this last, by the way? I mean, how long before they figured out?
It was about an hour before the news was completely repaired, maybe half an hour. I think within a few minutes they had called the Dow headquarters or vice versa and found out that it wasn't true. But during that hour, Dow's stock lost $2 billion.
So you've now made two, at least, big presentations to the world at large, pretending to be somebody else. And you didn't want to stop there. This
right.
led directly to the Survivor Ball?
That's right. We found ourselves, having done this, we decided we were making a movie at this point. This was such a big announcement and such a big event, and there was such a big lesson in this with the Dow stock value losing $2 billion because it had apparently done the right thing. We wanted to make a complete movie about this, and the story of Dow's stock fall, we felt was very important, and that it showed that if we just let the stock market decide what to do, it would not do the right thing. And neither would any other company. And the ultimate victims of all that would be the entire world with climate change. And the ultimate example of that, we decided to trot out. We got ourselves invited to a conference on the U.S. Gulf Coast as Halliburton and decided to show what the ultimate solution, the ultimate corporate solution to climate change would look like. And that would be the Survivaball, which was a 6-foot diameter inflatable grub suit, basically, that would protect corporate managers no matter what might happen to them, no matter what might happen to the planet as a result of the corporate manager's actions.
Now, I have to get you to describe the Survivaball at this point, because you built several examples of it.
Yeah, we built 3 of them to take to this conference. They're basically round, and the wearer's face shows up right in the middle of it. And other than that, you just have this big blob.
A big blob, but it has little—they look like teats hanging off of it. But in fact, they're—well, I'm not sure what in fact they are. That's just—it begins to look more and more like a pig, which I suppose has some comic value of its own, doesn't it?
It's a pig or an insect larva or maybe just an amoeba. It's just a formless, incredibly stupid-looking costume.
Now, you and I would look at that and laugh, but...
Yeah. But we put it in the context of this conference that people trusted. We said we were from Halliburton, and this suit was the solution to climate change. Because if there are disasters, even if it's the end of the world... Like, you know, the great deluge in the Bible was an opportunity, and this end of the world could be an opportunity too, as long as you survive.
We want something that's going to be able to save a human being no matter what Mother Nature throws at him. And so this is the answer. This is the Halliburton Survivaball. It's 3 easy steps for deployment: suiting up, inflating, and of course, launching. Launching out of a building, and we have an artist's rendition of what it might be like in Houston when we launch our Survivaballs. In the event of extreme catastrophe, there might be a scarcity of resources. In this case, we've got a Survivaball here that's going up and extracting resources, in this case from an animal, and you don't want to be exposed to the elements, but you still want to be able to extract resources from, for example, a cow. They're going to be able to go underwater, rated at 50 feet. They can be used in any condition. It doesn't matter whether you're in a landslide in California or even in the Arctic. Of course, any other conditions, whether it's tsunamis or tornadoes, the Survivaball is designed to withstand.
I hardly know what to say after this. It's just that there's that point when you think, now, nobody can be taking this seriously anymore, but you've moved well past nobody's going to take us seriously because you now know they will.
Right. They generally do just sit there, and that's kind of been, yeah, that's been the lesson that we've tried to convey with this movie, is the message that there are people who will just listen to this and not be shocked. They will just listen to Halliburton saying, the rest of the world can, you know, go to hell in a handbasket. We'll protect the corporate managers and everything will be okay. People can sit there, listen to this and not be shocked. And that is deeply shocking. And that indicates just how far we've gone.
Free markets are working miracle after miracle of economic growth.
Open markets and rule-based trade are the best engines we know of.
But when the government stepped back and let the free enterprise system do its work, then the better we did, the more robust our economy grew, the better I did, and the better my business grew.
For the last 30 years, the leaders of most powerful countries did whatever the free marketeers recommended. And what they recommended was simple.
The solution is not to have government to intervene or regulate in some way.
In fact, most problems will solve themselves if ignored, and let free people working in free markets address them.
Now, you know, this could be pretty depressing at this point. It is pretty depressing at this point that you should be able to pass this off as real. But you've actually found a way to find some hope in this. There's a parody of the New York Times that you created. It shows up late in the film. I've actually seen a copy of it. What I liked best, I think, maybe, was that when you passed them out, and you passed out thousands of them, I guess, it's full of the news you wish you could read in the paper, and people liked it.
Right. Yeah, that is the hope here. We printed 100,000 copies of the New York Times, which, by the way, only cost $6,000. It's relatively inexpensive. And volunteers passed them out all throughout Manhattan. It was 1 week after Obama had been elected, so around November 12th. And it was postdated, though, 6 months in the future to July 4th. The idea was to show the world as it could be in 6 months with Obama president.
There's a headline, for instance, that says, Iraq War Ends.
Right. That's one of them. Maximum wage law enacted. You know, big oil companies' profits go to fight climate change.
I'm just looking at it here. Nationalized oil to fund climate change efforts. Treasury announced true cost tax plan.
Right.
Ex-secretary apologizes for WMD score. I thought that was interesting.
Right. And in each of those articles, there's a little bit about how it was only thanks to public pressure that it happened. The article starts out, describes what happened, and then describes how it happened, which was that people rose up and demanded that it happen. And without that, it wouldn't have happened.
We printed a paper with the headlines that we'd like to see. So if these are the headlines that people were so excited to read this morning, let's make them happen.
Make change happen. Put your effort on the line to make something happen. And that's what kind of we did here, and, you know.
No, and if a few people at the top can make the bad news happen, then why can't all of us at the bottom get together and make the good news happen for a change? I mean, for real.
Andy Bichlbaum and Mike Bonanno are the Yes Men. We spoke with Andy. The Yes Men's documentary film is called The Yes Men Fix the World.